Well, I want to welcome you again to this week's lesson. I finally know what the title of this series is. You know, we finished 21 lessons on a series called Believing Jesus, and really, we're still in that process. But I could feel a shift. There was something changing. So last week, I didn't even know what the title of the new series is. You know, but I do now. And this one's going to be called Think Like Jesus. Think Like Jesus. I started, we could call it Having the Mind of Christ. Might be better, I don't know. But Think Like Jesus is just real. And let's start off with scripture, of course. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus. Now get this. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Jesus is our example in every way. He is a spirit-born man. He received at his first, at conception, the nature that we received when we were born again. But he was conceived already with that nature in the womb of Mary when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. God is his father, not Adam. We've been through all of these things before. But so he lived as a man born of God's spirit, just like you. If you're born again, your spirit is born of God, not Adam. Okay. Jesus is your Adam. Now, we've taught all these lessons before. I hope this is old. That all of that's old information. You go, okay, yeah, I know that. I know that. I've heard all of that. But he had a gray matter brain. Even before I go there, let's go to the physical body. So he's a man born of God's spirit, but he lived in a body, a fallen body, really just like ours, because his spirit came from God, but his body came through Mary, which you can trace Mary all the way back to Adam, you know. So he's the perfect prototype for sons of God like us who have been born again, just like he had the life of God in his spirit, like we had the life of God in our spirit. He had to deal with a physical body. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So he had to deal with a fallen body, just like we do. But see, we've been admonished to renew our mind. The difference is he was fully renewed. But now here's the great revelation of this new series. And I'm telling you, it's going to change everything. Did you know that included with that physical body, he had a gray matter brain, 3.5 pound brain, just like yours, just like mine. Jesus, the Son of God. He also called himself the Son of Man. He is our prototype. He is our example. And it's up until now, I have thought, well, this gray matter brain, it's a great impediment to us. We're never really going to, you know, be able to fully function. And see, that's just not true, because that's the big breakthrough. Listen. Jesus had the same kind of 3.5 pound gray matter physical brain that we have. Now, it may never fully be able to comprehend spiritual things like that spiritual mind you have on the inside of you. Jesus had a spiritual mind on the inside of him. But see, that this gray matter brain is what is the connecting link between the realm of the spirit and the body. If you want to get something done in this world, you know, I'm going to go make a cup of coffee, okay? My brain has to send signals to the legs. Walk in there. You know? So what I'm saying is this brain, it can, if his brain could fully cooperate with his born-again spirit, let me say it another way, the mind of Christ, which of course he had, his physical brain came to the point where it didn't hinder him. It's like the servant running alongside. Here's the prince on the horse, and got a servant running along beside. Well, that's a perfect image of the brain. It's not making the decisions. It's not deciding on leadership. All of that's coming from your spirit. That's coming from God, really, through your spirit. But that brain is a really good servant, and you need that brain to function in this world. And I just saw it so clear. Another verse that came to mind, I didn't look it up, but Jesus said, the disciple will not be above his master, but a disciple. The whole point of being a disciple, really, is to become as your master. Well, it's obvious. The physical brain of Jesus did not hinder his faith. The physical brain of Jesus fully cooperated with the mind of Christ on the inside of him. The mind of Christ is the mind of God. And we're disciples. My brain is not going to be a hindrance to me, and your brain is not going to be a hindrance to you. So this thought came to me. Think about this. Romans 12:2. We've been, how many times have we quoted that verse? Be no longer, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. And it's talking about the mind. Okay. The how you think, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, that's exactly what we're after. We want the perfect will of God manifested in on earth and manifested through each of us as we take our place in the body of Christ. And it up until now, I've just had this, and I didn't even realize I had it, but there was like this impossibility because I'm limited by this natural brain. It can't understand the things of God, and that may all still be true. But I can tell you this, it can learn to fully cooperate with the mind of Christ. It may never understand the physics of how a human being can walk on water. It may never, the natural brain was given to us to operate in this natural world pretty much. And, it's going to go, nope. physics is physics, and it's not possible for a human to walk on water. Even when you see one walking on water, like Peter did, he saw Jesus walking on the water, Now, get that. Jesus is walking on the water, and he's our prototype. And he's going, I'm the author of your faith, not anybody else, me. You're my disciple. But right now, I'm hearing our foundational verse, he that believes on me, the work, John 14:12, he that believes on me. Let's say it another way. When you get renewed where you think like I think, that's when you become my disciple. And the things that I do, you're going to do also. That's the whole point of being a disciple. Oh, my goodness. And it was like a breakthrough moment for me. I said, oh, my goodness. We can actually think the same way Jesus did, or the same way he does. Jesus, while he was on earth, had a 3.5-pound brain, a gray matter brain. He had a great, just like he had a physical arm and physical legs, just like ours. He had a brain just like ours. And it's really obvious looking through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that brain did not hinder him. That brain fully cooperated with the spirit man on the inside. And it didn't hinder him. In fact, it was a great help to him. We're going to this next village, legs. Let's go. Okay, here we go. So let me read this little paragraph here. It says, his spirit was born of God, yet he lived in a fallen body just like ours, which includes a 3.5-pound brain, a physical brain, just like ours. His natural brain, again, was like the servant running alongside the prince on the horse, always ready to serve, but never taking the place of mastery that belonged to the prince alone. Whew. I hope you've heard that old message of mine called Servants Upon Horses. Anyway, don't have time to go through it today. It's at the website somewhere. We already quoted Romans 12:2, but I want to do it again. Listen, we can't hear the word of God too much. You just can't hear it too much. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. And again, that's that wonderful word, metamorpho, in the Greek. It's where we get our word metamorphosis. We're all going from caterpillar to butterfly. And we're not going to remain caterpillars trying to fly. That's never going to work. That's religion. That's old school. That's a powerless church trying. remaining a caterpillar but trying to fly. That's not the process. We are actually being transformed into the very image of Christ. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove. What is that prove? Now that prove means not just think about it. Prove means demonstrate it. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how are we ever going to see the perfect will of God? Jesus said, Philip, have you been watching? You want to see the Father? You want to know the perfect will of God, do you? Listen, Philip. Listen, Gary. Listen, believer. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because Jesus didn't do anything but the perfect will of the Father. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if we submit ourselves to the Word of God and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're going to come to the place where we think the same way Jesus does. We are literally going to think like Jesus, and I'm talking about in the gray matter brain. We would think like, if we become a disciple, how do you become, if you continue in my word, he said in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple indeed? Then he says, you shall know the truth. Know the truth. Yes. Yes, sir. Okay. Today, let me quick. This is not in my notes, but he was dealing with me after last week's message, and I think the title we put on that is I am, the great I am is with you. You remember way back a few lessons, he was dealing with me about, he said, what is my name? And I said, well, you're Yahweh, you're Jehovah, you're the Messiah. What is my name? Three times he asked me. And then finally I said, well, Lord, you know who you are. You tell me. And he says, I am. What did I tell Moses? I am. I am that I am. In modern English, you'd say, I am the self-existent one. There's none, nobody created me. I am. And you think about that, the one that flung the universe, the one that made all the stars, they're still just discovering some, you know, they were thinking they're going to discover stars way out there. Well, they did, but because they discovered whole galaxies out there that they didn't even know existed, you know. And that one that flung all of that one, I am, is with you. What chance does the devil have? Absolutely none. Absolutely none. Okay. But we've got to come to the place where we understand that he is tabernacling, I don't know if that's really a word, on earth in us. That's exactly what he was doing in Jesus Christ. He said, it's the Father in me. He's doing the works. What do we say now? It's Christ in me. That's the mystery of the gospel. But from John 17, we found out, yes, it's Christ in us, but it's the Father in him. We have been anointed. You know, Jesus said you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. So here we are, believers, you know, here we are with the same very Christ in us, the Father in him, and anointed by the Holy Ghost, and we can barely believe, you know, to get healed of a head cold. And he's called us to believe for legs to grow out and blind eyes to see and deaf to hear and lame to walk and all of the, you know, every devil come out, you know. Cast them out in Jesus' name. We're going to think like him. And the wonderful thing that I'm seeing is the gray matter brain is not going to be a hindrance. Your natural brain is not going to be a hindrance. Now I can tell I've been one degree off on this from this, one of my favorite passages that I've been preaching for 30 years, but I've still been like one degree off on the thing. Now let's get it straight what it says. I'm going to read it to you out of the King James, and then after that, I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. So I should tell you where it is, shouldn't I? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, and I can include a lot more, but this is enough for today. It's in the King James, but the natural man, now, the natural man, who's he talking about there? Somebody not born again. somebody who doesn't have the mind of Christ, he doesn't have a spirit on the inside of him that's capable of understanding things of God's kingdom. See, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Well, they're foolishness unto him. Remember, the natural man who's not been born again, his brain is designed to deal with facts in this world. If you see the bus coming down the street and you're standing on the curb, here comes the bus, do not step off the curb in front of the bus. That's the function of the natural brain. How do you know the bus is coming? I see it. I believe it when I see it. Well, that's the function of the natural brain. You start telling the natural brain supernatural things like, did you know I can pray and a missing leg will grow out on a human? He goes, you know, you fell off the pumpkin truck. Something's wrong with you. It's foolishness. See, but it's not talking about I've always interpreted that to mean the natural brain. But that's not what it says. It says the natural man. He's talking about somebody who's not born again. So let's keep that in context. Let me read it again. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. You can understand that. Now get this. Neither can he know them. That's, again, he's not talking necessarily about the 3.5-pound brain. He's talking about a man who does not have the Spirit of God on the inside of him. Because they are spiritually discerned. Well, that's absolutely true. For he that is spiritual. Now, who's he talking about now? He's really talking about a born-again person. Who's this letter written to? 1 Corinthians. What did Paul tell them? You guys are born again. You're greatly loved. God loves you. I love you. But you're really babies. You're really little babies. But yet he's saying to them, even in that little baby state, you're born again. You are spiritual in the sense of you have the mind of Christ. You have the capacity in your brain. Because you're born again, the Spirit of God, that Spirit born of God, is in you. Now you have the capacity to understand spiritual things. That's why I'm writing this letter to you. But I'm still very limited in what I can teach you. You're like little babies on milk. But still, it's spiritual milk that I'm giving you, and you have the capacity to understand it. But he that is spiritual, like I'm talking, you know, I'm not saying you're mature, but you're of the spirit realm because you've been born again. Now you judge, and really the better word there is discern all things. Yet he himself, the spiritual man, the world will never figure you out. He himself is judged of no man. Now get this. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Now he's talking about, really nice, going back to the natural man. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we, now see, he's making that switch. That natural man, he's going to tell the Lord what to do? A natural man says, okay, Lord, you can't walk on water. Right? What? Well, that's the natural man. But notice he switches back now. But we have the mind of Christ. We absolutely do have access to all the mind of Christ. The student is not above his master, but the disciple, the disciplined follower, shall not. He's not going to be above his master, but the disciplined follower will be as his master. Boy, I'm encouraged this week. I am telling you, that tells me my natural 3.5-pound brain, it may never really be able to fully discern and understand everything about the kingdom, but I can look at Jesus and understand my 3.5-pound brain does not have to be a hindrance to do the same works that Jesus did. It can be brought to the very place of obedience, fully trusting in the Lord, where it will obey the instructions that come from the prince on the horse. Okay, here we go. Now, let me read it to you out of the Classic Amplified. I got too many papers in my hand here. Hang on a minute. Let me set some of these down for a moment. All right, same verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, out of the Classic Amplified. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart, doesn't allow it into his heart, the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him. And he is incapable, now he, see, that unborn again man, non-born again man, whatever the proper wording is, and he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively, in the Greek language, of progressively, hang on, turning the page, of progressively understanding and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. But the spiritual man, now he's not talking about a mature man, obviously, because here he's writing this letter to the Corinthians that in next chapter or two, he says, you're born again, but you're just little babies. So here when he says the spiritual man, he's not talking really mature. He's just talking born again, okay? If you've been born again, you have the capacity. That's what he's saying. But the spiritual man, he tries all things. He examines, he investigates, he inquires into, he questions, and discerns all things. That's exactly what we're doing in these lessons. Yet he himself is put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. Your unsaved relatives are never going to figure you out until they become born again. To them, this is foolishness. It's like like what planet are you from? You could tell them heaven. I don't know if it's actually a planet, but we're not from here. We're on earth. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Okay. But anyway, you don't need to tell them that. They'll just think you're more crazy. But anyway. But okay. Verse 16. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsel, and purposes of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? I'm talking about the natural. Like, Lord, don't you know that's impossible? This is like Peter, the time he rebuked the Lord. You remember that? Jesus is telling him, all right, now here's what's going to happen, boys. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be put on trial. I'm going to be killed, and then I'm going to be raised on the third day. And it says Peter took him aside to instruct him. Come over here, Jesus. I need, and he actually said, he like, to his face, he goes, no, that's not what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Have you not read, I know what's going to happen when Messiah comes. That's not going to happen to you. Can you imagine? Here's, Peter's not born again yet, at the course then. And so he's going to instruct the Lord. No. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Don't be telling Jesus stuff and is not possible. No, he's going to tell you, yeah, it is too. Yeah, it is. But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah. And we do hold, I love this. And we do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes. But the real word there is the thoughts of his heart. Thoughts of his heart. I'm hearing right now an old word that he said to me a long time ago. He says, really, he says, to function the way I function, it's more than a matter of knowledge. Now I'm paraphrasing what he said. You have to see with my eyes, hear with my ears, feel with my heart. The very compassion of the Lord. See what's happening. He is literally building himself into us. Where it becomes harder and harder to even make a separation between you and him. That's Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Well, no, I died. Well, yet, nevertheless, I live. Well, but it's really not just me anymore. It's Christ in me, see, is what he's saying. There's such a mingling. I don't really like that word because of some scriptures in the Old Testament. There's a merging. That's better. There's a union, a merging, a blending. It's like when the cream, you put the cream in the coffee and then you stir it, and the two become one. How do you get the cream back out? You don't. sugar in the tea, same thing. Once you get them you know, together, they're both one now. It's one new thing. You are one new thing. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. It's like, it's very much like the marriage, you know, the husband and the wife, they become one because of the intimacy. Okay, on and on and on. I'm going to read that last sentence again. We have the mind of Christ, the Messiah. Stop. Okay, I've heard so much preaching on this. You know, well, you just already have it. You just need to go out and do it. Okay. who's this letter written to? This is the Corinthians, the first letter. They are messed up church. They are split, divided into all kinds of factions. They're allowing sin in the church that even the unsaved world does not allow that level of sin. Yet it's going unrebuked by the leadership is so weak, they don't even rebuke it. These people are openly involved in this sin, sitting on the front row, like trying to tell everybody it's okay when it's not okay. I mean, this is a very immature church. So when he says you have the mind of Christ, he most certainly is not saying you already have it full-blown in your brain. What he's saying is you have access to it. And this is why God sent the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Thank God he sent us a book. I remember going to university and learning how to become an industrial engineer. Thank God they didn't just give us books. Thank God for the book. Mwah. But he said they gave us a teacher because there I had questions. Have you got questions? What? How does this work? I don't understand. Well, thank God he's given us the Holy Spirit. So when he says we have the mind of Christ, we have access to it because we've been born again. You've got a spirit on the inside of you. Inside your natural brain, you have a spiritual mind that has the capacity to think like Jesus. There it is. There's our title. We have the capacity. When we get through with this, if you say, all right, Jesus has a university here. Jesus you. Jesus University. I'm going to become a disciple. I'm going to enroll. I'm going to start reading the book. They provided a book and a teacher. Okay. So this teacher, every time that I spend time praying in other tongues, he starts explaining to me the mysteries of the book. Listen, I understand that when I started in when I went to University of Oklahoma back in the 60s, okay. They started explaining to me the mysteries of metallurgy and the mysteries of quantum physics that they knew at the time, the mysteries of all kinds of things that I had never heard of before. And listen, when you start getting into differential equations and integral calculus, I mean, I'm the guy that failed trigonometry twice, you know, I had to take it a third time. And now I have to pass these classes, you know. And man, I thank God that we had a book on differential equations and integral calculus and things like that. But I thank God we had a teacher because I got questions. Hello, what does this mean right here? I don't understand this right here. Okay, well, we have enrolled. If you've been listening to these messages and if you do the blueprint and spend time in the presence of God, and especially spend a lot of time praying in other tongues, the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher. You meditate the Word of God day and night. If you don't know how to do that, go to daveroberson.org. Best, you scroll, go to the series, scroll down through there. There's more than one series, if I remember right, on how to meditate the Word of God. Then, after you get those in you, then he's got one on assimilation, assimilating the Word. And, oh my God, that changed my life too. But if we come to the place where we meditate the Word of God day and night, see, that's something beyond memorization. That's something beyond just reading. Because you can't read day and night, can you? No. It's hard to bring up your memory. You know, you kind of lose control when you go to sleep, you know, about bringing up memories. Okay, I memorized these verses, but you're asleep now. There is a way where you can meditate the Word day and night. How do I do that? You go to daveroberson.org. You listen to those. It would take more than one message to go through that, of course, because there's multiple messages. It's the best you'll ever hear. Okay, But that's not today's lesson, really. Let me read this next paragraph. See, the natural, this is talking about an unsaved man and a saved man. It's not really even talking about maturity at this point. It's talking about the capacity to understand the realm of the Spirit. Let's say it another way. Even for the natural brain, you've got a spiritual mind now on the inside. It's going to be receiving information directly from the Holy Ghost. And you know, and I know by experience, that as your spiritual mind understands these lessons that are taught by the Holy Spirit, eventually, once your mind gets it, your spiritual mind, it seems like it's the spiritual mind that starts instructing the natural brain, because my brain has to cooperate with these things. It may never understand the mechanics of it, but it can learn to fully cooperate with it. Say, all right, okay, for example, even an unborn again person like Peter, let's think about how the natural mind works. I talk about him walking on the water all the time. Let's talk about another one. The legalistic people came and they said, you're not paying the tithe. You need to, or not the tithe. I'm sorry. It was a temple tax. So yes. You're not paying the temple tax. And Peter started to go in the house, probably to find Judas, because Judas had the money bag. But Jesus wanted to teach Peter something. He said, no, we're not going to pay it that way. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to take a fishing pole. Now, not a net. They normally fished with nets. But I want you to go to the sea, wherever they were, Sea of Galilee, I guess. But anyway, take a pole and a line, because I want you to catch a single fish. You're going to catch this fish, and when it comes up, you look in its mouth, and in its mouth, it's going to have enough money in its mouth to pay the taxes for both you and me. We're going to do it that way. Now, natural, let's talk Peter. He's got a pole. If you can picture with me, he went and got his fishing pole. He's walking down to the water. He's walking down there. Now, what's the natural brain thinking? Okay, I heard what Jesus said. Okay, Jesus is definitely the prince on the horse. Okay, he's giving me an instruction. Okay, natural brain. I've been a fisherman my whole life. I have caught thousands upon thousands of fish in the same water. Let's see now. In those thousands of times, I have never yet once ever found money. Not only in a fish's belly, but he said this money would be in the fish's mouth. It's like he didn't even swallow it. He just scooped it up and he brought it. I'm just wondering, all of this thinking going through. I mean, this makes no sense to me whatsoever. I've never seen that happen. I've never heard of anybody catching a fish that had money in its mouth. This is, see that natural brain? But notice it's cooperating. It's got the fishing pole. We're walking. It's sending the impulses to the legs. And at first it sent the impulses to go get the fishing pole. They're walking down there. He's probably got a minibucket with him. I don't know. I don't understand this, but I can work with it. And I'm going to do what he said. I don't know how in the world, but that's what he said. And I'm going to cooperate with it. So he goes down there, casts in the line. Boom. Here comes the fish. Pull it up on the shore. He said, this is what he said. Open the fish's mouth. Shazam. Coins in the fish's mouth. I've never. Now, see, the natural mind's going. I mean, I've had these same thoughts. What did Jesus, how did the Holy Spirit do that? Did he just pick out this fish? I mean, obviously he knows where the money is. And somehow before I even went fishing, this fish went down there, wherever. The Holy Spirit had to direct that fish and scoop up that money, keep it in its mouth, don't swallow it, bring that money. Strike the line. There it is. Strike the line right there. Boom. The fish bites the bait. I pull it up. And there it is. And the natural brain goes, but it can fully cooperate, can it? Even in an unborn again man. Now see, you have a great advantage. Go, yes, sir. Okay. I'm not going to ignore it. Okay. See, how does God instruct the natural brain where it cooperates with the spiritual mind? Peter had a stronghold. We've talked about this many times. Peter had a stronghold for roughly, even this is 8 to 9 years, maybe 10, probably more like 8 or 9 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And he told them multiple times that this gospel was not just for the Jews anymore. It was for the Gentiles. He plainly told them. I didn't look those verses up. But go, just one, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, all the world is the Gentile world. And those that believe will be saved. Over and over again, he told them that the Gentiles are going to be saved. But here it's been 8 or 9 years since then. And in Peter's mind, only Jews can be saved. It's just a strong, let's not be too rough on Peter until we talk about our strongholds anyway. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Lord, has got to change Peter's mind. Now, we're not going to read it today, but you know what happened. It's critical now. It's time for a stronghold to come down. Let me say it another way. It's time for a change in how Peter thinks. Now, Peter, at this point, is a born-again man. But he has a stronghold, and it really, I'm going to say, his natural brain, that is holding back the power of God from the Gentiles. Man, I felt that right there. There's way more. We have, okay, I'm just telling you, this is extra. We have strongholds now, and I'm talking about the church at large, that's holding back the power of God to the whole world when it comes to healings and miracles. He is in the process right now of busting us out. It's a jailbreak. We're in these strongholds. I read it. I believe you, but it isn't happening. It isn't happening. Why? Because there's strongholds. There's something in our natural brain. Well, he's bringing us out. Bringing us out of those strongholds. Watch how he does it with Peter. Peter is behind the bars of a stronghold that says only Jews can be saved. But Peter, you were there multiple times, Peter. He said the Gentiles are going to be saved. He sent you to the Gentiles. Only Jews can be saved. But Peter, the word says, see, that's right where we are right now. You'll lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover and so forth. Jesus said, we're in the same situation. Now watch what he does. Peter's on the rooftop and he hasn't eaten. Gee, what do we call that? That's called fasting. Maybe a short one. I don't know. They're preparing the food. But he hasn't eaten. He's not eating. And he's in prayer. Gee, have I ever heard a message about prayer and fasting? Anyway. And a vision comes. I've had so many of these. He's busted me out of so many other strongholds just to get to this point. But all of a sudden, a movie plays. All right. Now, this one was like a trance. I don't know that thank God I didn't fall over in a trance while I was driving the trucks, you know. When you're driving an 80,000-pound rig through the densely packed like streets of Memphis, you don't want to go, oh, he wants to talk to me. You don't want to fall over in a trance. But, it could happen, and it may still yet happen. But I've had many of these teaching visions, and they're powerful. And they'll change the way you think. Once you had it, you don't think that way anymore. Well, you know what happened that day? He fell over in a trance. What's happening? God's going to tear down a stronghold. It's going to reach all the way to the natural brain, in the sense of this natural brain is going to cooperate. Okay? So three times he sends this vision. You know what it was? The sheet come down, and in it was unclean foods, all kinds of unclean animals. Creepy things and things that are forbidden in the law for a man to eat. By the way, that's another stronghold that Peter had, because in the vision, he's seeing all these creepy, crawly things that's not legal for man to eat. One of them had to be a pig, you know. Don't eat pork. One of them had to be a pig in there. And then he hears a voice in this trance, this vision saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And what does Peter say? No, here he goes again. Jesus, no. Let me talk to you, Holy Spirit. No, listen, I'm a Jew. Jews don't eat that. You know, that's unclean. God told Moses and Moses told us that's unclean. We don't eat that. Let me counsel you here. Because he says, nothing unclean has ever gone into my mouth. Now, here we go again. Because Peter was there on the day when Jesus plainly told him, not that which goes into a man defiles a man, but that which comes out of the man. He's talking about out of the heart, murder and adultery and all of those kind of things. That's what defiles the man. And Jesus plainly, more than once, declared all foods to be legal now for you to eat. Peter was there. Let me say it this way. He had the word on it. He was there. But it never penetrated to change his thinking. And here we are, 8, 9, 10 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, and he has the word on it. He was there, but he is still bound by a stronghold that's not allowing him to eat everything. You know, Paul says, I've come to the place I know there's nothing really unclean of itself. God's given us everything to be received with thanksgiving, okay? Paul didn't have that stronghold. He was a Jew, but he didn't have it, but Peter did. This is how God changes our thinking, to think like Jesus. Because Jesus, at that moment, is thinking, I want the Jews saved. What if he could say it this way, Peter, I want to be believed. You were there the day I told you, go ye into all the world. Peter, knock, knock, knock. Peter, hello, you were there. Gary, you, my word says, in this case, Peter, what did I tell you? What was the word I spoke to you? Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to all of them. And those that believe will be saved. No, only Jews can be saved. Lord, let me instruct you. 3 times this thing keeps coming down. 3 times he sees this. Rise, Peter, kill me. No, no. Then he starts getting instructions that's received not only in his spirit, it translates to his natural brain. Now, I didn't look it up. I want to paraphrase it. Basically says, listen, there's men coming right now to your house. And they're going to invite you to go with them to stay at a Gentile, to go into the house of a Gentile. Now, that's another one. Jews were not allowed under the law to go under the roof of a Gentile. And this particular Gentile was not just any Gentile. He was a Roman centurion. But he is the occupying force. Now, he's a good man. He loves God. He's been giving to God and other things. He's a good man. God wants him saved. God wants him born again. So an angel has already appeared to him. God wants him and his whole household saved. And so an angel instructs him, well, send these men to a certain place, and Peter's going to come, and he's going to tell you the words of this life, you know. Well, this angel, or this voice is now instructing Peter. He's hearing it even down to the brain cell level, the natural brain. These men are coming. I want you to go with them. Okay. Now, see, the natural brain, it's going, this is against everything that I've ever been taught. This is against the law of Moses. I seem like I do remember Jesus saying something about not that which goes into a man. Yeah, he said something like that. And he said something about going to all the world. Anyway, it penetrates. Now, here's what I mean about the natural brain cooperating with the Spirit of God, which really is the mind of Christ. Sure enough, knock, knock, knock. Who's that? We've come to invite you to go with us to the house of this Roman centurion. We'd like you to come with us, please. Now, right there, Peter's natural brain has heard the instruction. And in this case, it goes, okay, I'm going to go with you. The natural brain, even though what he has heard really is pretty much against everything that he's believed his whole life, he's going to go with him. And you know the end result. He gets there. You know, why have you asked me here? He's told why. And Peter begins preaching the gospel to them. And before it says, while he is yet speaking. I mean, I've had that happen here, you know. While I'm yet speaking, God did.
while he's yet speaking, the Holy Spirit just, you know, they believed it in the heart, no doubt. And the Holy Spirit falls on them. They actually got baptized in the Holy Ghost before they got baptized in water. If you read that carefully, he says, well, who can, here they are speaking in tongues. And Peter's going, who can forbid water? That these, they, you know, they've got the same Holy Spirit that we got. We can't withhold them from the baptism into Christ, you know. So, but that's such a perfect example of dealing with a stronghold in the natural brain. It's really held back. I mean, like, when I do that, it's like prison bars. Peter has been held back from even obeying Christ. He had the word somewhere in his memory banks. Go ye into all the world. He was there. Go ye into all the world. He also had not that which goes. He had the word. Not that which goes into a man defiles a man, but that which comes out of the man defiles a man. And by that he declared all foods clean. And he had the word. Same way we've got the word. But it was not producing the power because of strongholds that were still in his natural noodle. His natural brain. No, only Jews can be saved. Let me instruct you, Lord. Nuts. I want you to eat this. No. Let me instruct you. We don't eat that. How much are we doing that? We have the word. Jesus goes, I want to be believed. Well, I've got your word. Yeah, but I want to be believed. I want you to act on it. What? You must be talking about the apostle and the prophet. No, you're a believer. Listen, Lord, let me instruct you. I'm just Joe Public. I'm just Mary Wallpaper. I'm nobody. Do you believe? Yeah. I'm a believer. I'm saved. Yeah. You're spiritual. You've been born again. Yes. I have a reborn spirit on the inside of me. I want to be believed. I mean, you know, you might have a few strongholds that need to come down if you'd spend some time with me. Prayer and fasting and the word and worship, you know, spend time with me. Right now, I just want to, you know, pause this and play the Blueprint Prophecy, which takes about an hour and 5 minutes, if I remember right. I play every, he's already, he hasn't changed the instruction. The first hour of prayer for Gary Carpenter every day, the first hour, I play the Blueprint while I'm praying in other tongues. Why? Because that's what he told me to do. Gary, it's been a long, how many times, I quit counting a long time ago. Doesn't matter what he said to do. That's what I'm going to do until he tells me something different. Our brain. What's happening now? Yes, sir. Peter is becoming even more of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I mean by that is God can use him now in ways he's not been able to use Peter for the 8, 9, 10 years. That's because Peter just wouldn't go. I want you to go into all the world. No. I want you to go into all the world and because I want the Gentiles saved. No, only Jews can be saved, Lord. I keep going. It's here he is again. Come over here and let's talk, Jesus. I need to instruct you. you can eat pork now. No. Come here, Jesus. Who are we to instruct him? Okay. I better read part of this. See, we're reminded again of the natural gray matter brain of Peter. Another example is when he saw Jesus walking on the water. We've got time for this. His natural brain does not believe that a human being can walk on water. All the physics of this world, everything you were taught in high school physics, when it comes to the natural laws of this world, says the density of the matter of a human body is different than the density in of water. And it's not possible for a human being to walk on the water unless you're in some kind of a boat or something. And the natural brain may never really go beyond that. But he was seeing a human do it with his own eyes. So even with his natural brain, he's processing information. He says, I don't believe it, but I see it. There's a human. That's Jesus. I know who that is. He's walking on the water, which is impossible, but I see it. Miracles, you know. It was impossible, but he's seeing it with his own eyes. Now, what a dichotomy. I mean, here we go. That's impossible, but I see it. His natural brain was caught betwixt two opinions, as the prophet Elijah said in the Old Testament. It's impossible, but I see it happening. What am I to do? What am I to think? See, now one thing his natural brain had already rendered a decision on was this. Whatsoever Jesus spoke was possible. It would come to pass. Now, his natural brain believed that because it had seen it happen hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times at this point in those meetings, the Jesus meetings that they would hold. And they would sit there after the teaching. You know, Jesus came teaching, preaching, and healing. So after the teaching and after the exhortation to believe, the preaching, then comes the demonstration. And who knows how long some of those prayer lines were. Who knows? I mean, it may have went on for hours, you know, because they brought hundreds, maybe thousands. But Peter would watch. Everything Jesus spoke would come to pass. And he'd seen it time and time and time again, to where even his natural brain had reached this conclusion. Whatever Jesus says will come to pass. Okay? If Jesus says it, it will happen. And that's why Peter worded his request the way he did. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Say it, Jesus. Speak it. Speak it. Because I know if you speak it, it's possible. If you speak it, it will come to pass. And it did. Even his natural gray matter brain, it agreed because it had seen it with its own eyes, time and time again. Now we must understand this truth. Jesus is our example. We've come full circle. We're back around to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. We are his disciples. We are continuing in his word. A disciple will not ever be beyond his master or above his master. It's enough that the disciple becomes as his master. I'm telling you, I feel a new freedom. I feel a new possibility. I don't know that my natural brain will ever really understand the physics of the kingdom of God, but it can understand there's a difference, and it can understand obedience, and I can receive instructions from Jesus himself through the Holy Spirit. And my natural brain can agree with those instructions, even if I have 1,000 questions. I know, you know, Peter, on that ride from his house to the Gentile house, his brain is still processing. Oh my goodness. I know what the vision said. I know what the Holy Ghost said to me to go with these guys and go under the roof. All of this is so different from my whole lifelong thing, but I'm going to obey. I'm going to do what he said. And that's really all the natural, that's all we really need from our natural brain. Is obedience. When you get your instructions from the Lord, okay, we've got, 6 minutes left here. Listen, some of the instructions that Sue and I have received are personal instructions from the Lord. I've never heard him say that to anybody else. We were actually kind of counseled in the early days. Are you sure you're hearing God now? Nobody else does it like this. And they didn't at the time. Now, there may have been some that I'm not familiar with, but I'm talking about all of the, you know, nationally known type ministries, and they didn't give away their cassette tapes at the time. That's what it was, for free. You know, you charge for them. And now some of them, I think, were greedy, you know, but most of them, they just didn't see any other way of paying the bills. Well, me either. My natural brain going, this is crazy. We're going to go under. This will never work. You know, but instructions that we got don't sell anything. You give them all away free. And you know, we're in that day, we're in those days when, like I say, money was staying away in great abundance. I mean, you know, we're believing God for our next biscuit. We're believing God for the next tank of gas in the car. You know, we're believing God to keep the lights on in the house. I mean, and now you're saying, no, I just want you to give everything away free. Seemed impossible. But the natural brain cooperated, even. Boy, I'm telling you, my brain would yap at me. I'd have trouble going to sleep in those days going, this isn't going to work.
You're going to go under. You didn't hear God in the first place. On and on and on and on. And I know what he said. I know what he said. I'm going to do what he said. You know, I would talk with Sue and she'd go, "It makes sense to me either, but if that's what he said, that's what we're going to do." If you totally missed it and we wind up sleeping under a bridge somewhere, you know, I'm with you. I want you to obey God. I want you to hear God and obey God. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. You know, this is what I heard him say. So, and you know what? Here it's been. Dear Lord, that was in 1996, roughly, when we incorporated the ministry and started obeying, you know, those kind of instructions. And here it is, 2025. Guess what? The lights are still on. I filled up the gas, my little Kia filled up the tank last night. Got a full tank of gas. There's food in the refrigerator. Got coffee in the house. The ministry has enough money to pay the bills and to pay Angie her salary. Thank God for all of you, by the way, that hear and obey what he says to you. You know, you never hear me take up offerings. You never hear me, you know, anyway, that's really his job. My job is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to me. Now, we do ask. He knows what you have need of before you ask him. Anyway, look, the point is this. My natural brain, even though it's still, I don't understand how that works. A little bit it does now because it's watched it for 30 years, 40, however long it's been. Even my natural brain, because what God said was, he said, "I'll speak to the hearts of the people I choose. And, you know, they're going to support you and the ministry." And he's done exactly that. And I think, again, I thank each and every one of you that when you heard him speaking or felt him, however you want to word it, I want to send some money there. We thank you from the bottom of our heart for obeying that prompting and sending in the finances. Because that's how he told us he would do it. So even my natural brain goes, okay, that's how he does it. Okay, we're going to just keep on obeying him. And until he tells us something different. But so far he hadn't. So we just keep on keeping on. Okay, I think that's enough. Think like Jesus. We are his disciples. We're going to continue in his word. We will remain disciples indeed. We're never going to go beyond Jesus. But he plainly said, the disciple shall be as his master. We can think like Jesus. See you again next week. Bye-bye for now.